Are you single? If so, do you ever find it challenging to navigate a world that seems to venerate couples? That's the experience Amy Key has had, and she's used it as inspiration for her new book, Arrangements in Blue, Notes on Loving and Living Alone. Amy is a poet and essayist, and she joins us now to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Amy Key, a poet and writer living in London, England. I want to share with you five key insights from my book, Arrangements in Blue, Notes on Loving and Living Alone. Insight 1. If you want to love yourself, start by being your own best friend. The rhetoric that you must love yourself before you can expect anyone else to love you can feel like a terrible burden. Aren't we all deserving of love? Even when we might struggle to love ourselves? I think so. Do we think less of the people we love when they're feeling bad or down on themselves? I don't. Instead, I wish they could look at themselves through my eyes. I wish they could talk to themselves like they would talk to me if I were similarly despondent and self-critical. I fought with a sense of failure about my inability to love myself all my life. But recently, I've come to think that rather than setting the bar at something as rarefied and fraught with failure as L-O-V-E, we aimed instead to be a good friend to ourselves, speak to ourselves as a friend might, borrow our friend's eyes when we look in the mirror. Take a look at your phone's camera roll and find a photo of yourself you don't like. Then ask yourself, what would my best friend say about me in this photo? Would she like that I am smiling? Does it remind her of a lovely day we spent together? Does she know that I am sad in this photo and she wants to give me a hug? Try this and see if you feel differently about the photo and yourself afterwards. Insight 2. There's more to celebrate than births, engagements, weddings, and anniversaries. In white, Western, heteronormative cultures, we're schooled from birth that the most important thing we'll achieve post-education are a house purchase, marriage, and becoming a parent. If those things aren't on the agenda for you, when do you get to have a special occasion? When do you get to issue fancy invitations and ask your community of family and friends to make time to celebrate you with you? This ability to take stock of one's life, to note the progression from here to there, are important ways our lives can take shape. In my experience, there's been a sense of shame in making a fuss of and asking people to prioritise milestones in my life that are personally significant, because the culture I live in doesn't qualify them as worthy of a collective investment. But when I've chosen to mark an occasion, a big birthday, a book launch for example, and ask people to join me in it, they've responded with enthusiasm and joy. The people who love you want to share in what is important for you. They want to celebrate it and be invited in. I recently went to a grand celebration a friend held to mark a medical procedure being completed, replete with themed cake. Waiting for births, weddings, and funerals limits both our opportunities for collective memory making and our sense of what makes a life meaningful. Insight 3. Romantic love isn't a universal human experience, but that can be okay. In Western culture, it is assumed that one day you will fall in love and decide to couple up with someone. It is seen as an inevitability that you will find someone. You just need to put yourself out there in the dating marketplace, even if it takes a long time to find the one. Opting out of romantic love is tolerated only when there's a calling from a higher power than even romantic love, when God has summoned you. But some people, for reasons they aren't ever able to understand, don't find romantic love. And the expectation that they should have and have somehow failed can result in them feeling excluded from life, a because life is designed for pairs. Political, social, cultural, and economic domains are structured for heteronormative relationships. If you find yourself untethered, romantically speaking, there isn't really a place for you. Women in particular are given derogatory labels: spinster, crone, cat lady. It is assumed that their experience of life is sad and small. What I found through writing my book is that life without romantic love can be a really good life, as full of meaning and opportunities for pleasure, comfort, security, fun, and peace as a partnered one. Knowing this means I'm not fearful of being alone, now or in the future. That's not to say it is or will always be easy, but I believe if we were all less frightened of being alone, the quality of all our relationships, especially the romantic ones, would deepen and grow. Insight 4. Build a life around what's in it, not what isn't. It took me a long time to realise that I had been living my life and shaping it around an absence. Not like how a tree might grow into a fence, incorporating the fence into its own growth. More like building my house across a canyon, its structural integrity permanently at risk. I lived for years with a sense I was kind of in a temporary state, singleness, childlessness, and life would begin in earnest once I'd found my person and made a start through life's official transitions. I focused more on what was not there than what was. When I paid attention to presence rather than absence, the intimate relationships I'd nurtured, the home I'd created, the way I could stretch the idea of mothering to take in my interpretation of it, I found love was abundant, and this was transformative. Insight 5. Hierarchy is at odds with love. If we place romantic love at the centre of life, designate it the top cat of loves, might we not only be consigning people who don't achieve it to failure, dismissing their life's experiences, but also dismiss the other ways love can be created, shared, and valued in our lives? The love that can be found in communities, in collaboration, in friendships and the families we are born into and the ones we invent for ourselves. The more I've thought about love, the more I've come to believe that any kind of hierarchy undermines love's purpose. In one of the songs on Joni Mitchell's album Blue, she sang that jealousy and greed undoes all the joy that could be. If we fixate on romantic love as the pinnacle of life, and we obsess over its absence, we're less open to the connections, care, soulful inquiry that love in all its forms might offer us. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Amy. That was Amy Key with 5 big ideas from Arrangements in Blue, Notes on Loving and Living Alone. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.